On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Got up this morning, I was in the mood for fish. Hard to explain. when it's raining outside, I get this hankering for fish. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because it involves water coming from the sky and that means fish. I really don't know. But I woke up like really wanting fish. And fish is very good for you. It's got fish oil in it, which is omega-3 fatty acid. It's supposed to be very good for you to eat fish. You're very healthy. It helps your immune system. And yet, I see a lot of dead fish in the ocean and in the lakes. So I don't know how it helps them. They're made of fish, and yet they don't survive. And as a matter of fact, salmon swim upstream, which is like the opposite of the way you're supposed to go. They're like fighting the current all the time. So I guess fish oil doesn't make you real smart either. Anyway, every time I feel like fish, I go to the fish store, the store of fish or the supermarket, and I look at the fish and then I say to myself, I don't really want fish. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yes.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, yep. A cup of tea, yep. Whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. I know my name. Welcome to the program. You sit back and relax. Don't do anything. I'm going to do everything. I'm just going to talk at you and say wonderful things about you. Wouldn't that be nice if you could pay somebody to say wonderful things about you? I may go into business. Want to go into business with me? I'll call it something like, I love you for money. Yeah, it's like mental prostitution. What you do is you come into my office, you sit in a big comfortable leather chair. Ooh, so comfortable. And I sit opposite you in a chair as well. Not as nice as your chair, because that's important that it's not as nice as yours, because you're the king, you're the queen. And I sit there and I look at you and you don't say a word. You don't say a damn word. You shut your freaking mouth. And I look at you and I fawn over you. I don't touch you. I don't touch you at all. But I fawn over you. I say, oh my God, you know, you're really very, very attractive. You have fantastic features. And you seem to be very, very smart. You're very intelligent. It must be your parents, or maybe it was just you. Maybe it's the strength of you. You have an incredible vibe that comes off of you. And you smell so nice too. Is that a natural scent that you have? Or are you really good at picking out perfumes or colognes? You smell wonderful. You're an extremely attractive person. You can probably do anything you want in life. You have strength and ability and agility and all those adjectives. You're just one. I go on for half an hour like that. A half hour, exactly 30 minutes, not a minute over. Otherwise, it's overtime. Not a minute less, because I want you to get your money's worth, and I just compliment the crap out of you to the point where you are turning so red from embarrassment that you look like a Native American Indian. You are so red, or an Irish person that had too much to drink. And when has an Irish person had too much to drink? Is it at the first sip or after six bottles? I don't even know the answer to that. but I don't talk like that to you. I compliment you. I say, oh, your clothing is beautiful. What a wonderful choice in clothing. The way that it hugs your body just perfectly. It's just, it's an amazing aura that you have coming off of you. I compliment you to the point of which you sit there and you say, all right, Ron, stop. I can't take anymore. Oh my God, I feel so wonderful. And when you leave my office after 30 minutes of compliments, you feel so incredible. You feel like you're at the top of the world and that you can own or do anything you want. And that's the business that I'm in. And what does it cost me for an overhead? A room with two chairs, that's all. And perhaps a checking account so I can take your money. What do you think? I don't know what to call it, but I think it would be fantastic. Maybe there should be two people in the room because someone may accuse me of things that I'm not doing. So maybe there should be a male and a female making the great compliments, but just you sitting in the chair. But two people, oh, yes, a compliment gangbang. Oh, yes. What do you think? Well, you're not saying anything? What do you think of it? Come on, now you can answer me. What do you think of it? Oh, I get it. I get it. I get it. I understand what you're doing. Oh! All right. You know, I was thinking that today, and I don't know why this pops into my head every once in a while, but I was thinking today, whatever happened to that Jared from Subway guy? You remember the story with him? He was a spokesperson for the Subway little restaurant sub shops there. And Jared, apparently, they showed pictures of Jared weighing like 2,000 pounds. He looked like an elephant. And he ate a Subway sandwich every single day, and he lost like 7,000 pounds. And now he looks, he looks, you know, like fairly skinny. He's not attractive. He looks like just the everyday guy. Not an attractive man at all. But he lost weight, and they show the before and the after, and the fact that he eats a Subway sandwich every single day. Apparently this is some kind of a Subway diet or something. They stuck with this guy for years and years and years. Jared Subway, they even had him standing behind counters and stuff, you know, just for publicity. Jared had nothing. He was an actor. He was just a guy who, I guess, ate at Subway sometimes. But, you know, he had no deal in the company or anything. They hired him in order to a just average-looking schlump who loses a lot of weight claiming that he eats Subway sandwiches every day. Then it comes out that Jared is arrested for what, Ron? For child molestation. He goes after young children and he has sexual affairs with these well underage kids. And they uncover all this horrible, disgusting information about him. You know, it's funny, you can throw murderers into jail and embezzlers and crooks and horrible, horrible people into jail, and the inmates will go, hey, 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 how you doing? How you doing? Hey, look, there's soap on the floor. We don't pick it up for me. But if someone's arrested for child molestation, even the hardened criminals and the murderers, they don't put up with that. Hey, I understand you went after young kids. You're a dead man. Just want you to know I'm going to get you. They don't tolerate that at all. Even murderers draw the line, which is amazing, but true. Yeah, you know, I killed 40 people, and I was happy about it, and I enjoyed it. But I understand you did child molestation. I don't put up with that. I got my morals. I got my boundaries, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know where Jared is. I think he's in some type of solitary cell so he doesn't get the crap beat out of him on a daily basis. But this Jared guy, I mean, he's the depths of hell. I mean, if he ever died and went to heaven, the people up there would say, no, I'm sorry, you're on the wrong escalator, kid. You're on your way down. By the way, was it the Bible that actually gave directions to heaven and hell? Heaven is somehow in the clouds, but not in space. It's somewhere in the clouds in the atmosphere, because there's big white puffy clouds and there's blue skies. And I got to tell you something. scientifically, that makes no sense whatsoever. And apparently, heaven is up there. It's up in the sky. Hell, for some reason, is in the middle of this particular earth. And there's a lot of fire and brimstone. There is a lot of fire and brimstone in the middle of the earth, but I don't think there's a over 55 community down there either. I think these are Bible stories. I think they're supposed to be representative of things. I don't think they're supposed to be actual physical locations, but a lot of people think there are. I know football players, when they score a touchdown, they look up to the sky and say, thank you, God, because apparently God hangs out up there. Now, I think God's supposed to be a spiritual everywhere kind of thing. I don't think it's in particular clouds. I don't even think the information from your computer when it's downloaded and it goes to the cloud, I don't think there's a particular cloud that it actually goes to. I think it has nothing to do with clouds whatsoever. It's a concept. Do you get it? But somehow we let the concepts actually turn into physical locations. I don't know how we do this. I guess it's our appetite to define things very distinctly. Otherwise, we get confused. Anyway, Jared Subway, man. For a long time, I didn't eat at Subway because, I don't know, it just disgusted me. Because you tend to think that Jared actually works there. I don't know, maybe it was a protest kind of thing where I just found it such a disgusting thing that I didn't want to go into anything that had said Subway. I didn't even take the Subway. I didn't even take the train. I was just disgusted by Jared so much. And Subway must have been very... I don't think Subway knew about this. I don't think they did. They must have been as shocked as you were. I mean, if I found out that my employee was a child molester, I would have packaged up my processed meats immediately. I don't know. I think Subway was shocked as well. We were all shocked by that. I don't know why I thought about him today, but I did. Then I took it further, and I thought, well, you know, it's not Jared's Subway shop, so they would have dropped the name Jared if it was Jared's Subway shops. But then I thought, oh my God, there's a jewelry store franchise chain across the United States called Jared's. I don't know if you have one near you. I'm sure there's more than one Jared in the world. But now I'm thinking, would I go into a store that had the name of a child molester on the building? It's a different Jared, granted, but still the name. It's amazing how a horrible person can actually destroy the name. And you know it's true. I dated this girl in junior high school named Linda. And Linda done me wrong. We were dating. It's junior high school, you know, which is kind of like play dating. It's not real. You know, in junior high school, I mean, maybe you married the person you met in junior high school. I really don't know. If you did, then you really need to get a life, but that's too late now. But, you know, you don't really, you know, dating in junior high school is just like stupid. Anyway, so I was dating Linda, and I liked her a really lot. And I thought Linda liked me, and then I saw her with another guy named Carl. And I dumped her, and she dumped me. As soon as I dumped her, she said, well, I'm dumping you. It was a dump fest is what it was. So for the longest time, I hated the name Linda, and I hated the name Carl. And anytime I was introduced to somebody in my adulthood, to a Linda or Carl, I would say, I can't talk to you even because you have that name and the name's bad memories. And I do remember meeting a girl and we had wonderful conversation. And after a period of time, she introduced herself and said, by the way, my name is Linda. And I thought, oh God, deal breaker over, bye. I couldn't ever. Because we don't get over things in our lives. You know, these things stick with us forever. But names apparently have these great attachments to them that is not so great. I can never deal with a Linda. If your name is Linda, Nice. Never with me, babe. Never with me. Alinda done me wrong. Alinda ain't gonna do me wrong again. And your name is Carl? F you, Carl. Carl ain't gonna happen. I don't know any Carls. Carl's not a common name. It's not like you meet somebody and say, hi, my name is Ron. Hi, my name is Carl. Oh, another Carl? No, they don't come up very much. Richard, all the time. All the time. Richard and Bill and Joe and Bob. All the time. As a matter of fact, don't even bother introducing yourself. Chances are you're one of those names. When someone says, hi, my name is Bill, I almost say to them, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, why wouldn't it be? I don't know. I don't know how that works. We have a great guest coming up pretty soon. We like to interview people here. I learn from people. We don't read books anymore anyway. When's the last time you read a book? All right, not that long ago, but certainly not as much as you did at one point in your life. Everything's on the computer screen. I've been doing this show for almost 30 years, and which is amazing because I'm only 31 years old. I am only 31 years old. All right, I'm 32. So I've been doing this for 30 years, and almost every week, Dave, I've interviewed somebody about something. And it's been a fascinating life, and I've learned most of what I know from people. You do have to weed out what you believe and what you don't believe in. Just because someone says something doesn't make it true, Donald. I'm not even going there. I'm not even getting it. For those of you that may not know me very well, if you even say the word Trump or even refer to it, I will have a shit fit. So don't even. All right, never mind. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, our guest will be joining us, most likely. I have no idea. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, or it could be a she. I don't even know. I don't even know what's going on at this point. Are you finding this to be pleasant?
It was unbelievably painful.
Aww. All right, that's enough.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Yeah? We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover.
What is that? What the hell was that?
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know.
This is for you, Linda.
I've seen it before, it happens all the time.
You too, Carl.
Closing a door, you leave the world behind. You're digging for gold, you're throwing away a fortune and feelings. But someday
Linda. Wonder where you are now, Linda. Probably having some type of affair with Jared out of the correctional facility. I don't know what you're doing, Linda. Don't really care anymore. Have you ever wanted to travel the world? Oh, yeah. Some people are into that, man. Within their lifetime, they have a bucket list. And they want to fill the bucket with things that they want to do before they die. It's a very pleasant concept. Are you enjoying your life? Yes. Here's the things I want to do before I die. Oh, okay, fine. We go in there? Yeah, yeah. I have the opposite. I have a fuck it list. These are things that I swear I will not do within my lifetime. It has nothing to do with dying. It's just I will not do it. It's the fuck it list, and it's longer than any bucket list anybody's ever made up. And I'm proud of it, too. I go by my list. Anyway, I don't like to fly. I don't like to travel. I love to go places, but then I like to leave when I want to. And the problem is that if you travel halfway around the world to these exotic places and you want to leave, you're kind of stuck there. So I don't like the feeling of being stuck. I'm sure you don't either, Linda. Okay, let's speak to a world traveler. Hey, Lee, how are you?
Ron, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, man. Thanks.
Lee Abamadi joins us. He's a travel expert and writer. He's also, get this, the youngest American to visit every country in the world. Seriously?
Seriously. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It took me about 13 years, and as I always say, I wasn't even trying to do it until I started trying to do it.
What? Well, how did you visit so many countries and not even try to do it?
Well, it started out as a hobby, basically, just something I was doing just because I enjoyed traveling, and uh-huh. I would always try to go to different places, you know, most of the places that normal people want to go to. And then once I'd been to all the normal places, like in Europe and South America and Asia, then I started thinking about going to the places that you didn't know how to spell. Wow. And you didn't know where they were located on the map, and then I just decided to do it, and that's what I did.
Wow. And the amazing thing is Lee is only 10 years old. No, okay, that's not true.
I'm actually 12 now, but thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, you should become a travel expert.
I know, I should really look into that. It sounds like a good line of work.
Sounds good, and you should even write about it. That'd be pretty cool, too. Anyway, let's get on with it. Okay, so some people can't afford to do this kind of thing. Is it a very expensive deal, or can it be done actually, you know, can you go traveling to some of these countries and not spend a fortune?
Well, there's no question that travel is not the cheapest hobby in the world. However, there are ways to alleviate the costs. And first and foremost, do your research. And in doing research, obviously, figure out the things that you can't avoid not paying for, and think about the things that you'd like to splurge on, things that you don't mind spending money on. And then, of course, I would recommend supplementing the cost of things by earning and using points and miles and different rewards programs. You know, credit cards are super important. For instance, the Bank of America Premium Rewards credit card, you can earn 2 points for every $1 you spend on travel and dining purchases, and then also 1.5 points for every dollar you spend on any other purchase. And with that, you can use that toward flights and hotels and different experiences in other countries. And it really helps alleviate some of the costs of international travel and domestic travel as well.
It's kind of amazing. It kind of has taken the place of savings accounts. At the end of the year, I get a nice big fat check from Bank of America, my credit card, because I've used it, and so when I'm using it, I'm actually getting money back. So, like, why wouldn't I use a credit card? It's kind of throwing cash out the window for me. But if you travel, I mean, it's incredible. It's like they give you money.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, you know, to be in the business of giving away money, right?
Yeah.
But Cashback is an awesome option, and if you don't travel a ton, that is exactly
what I would do.
But for me, instead of having, like you said, a savings account, which pays not that much in interest, you might as well get all the credits that they offer you and all the bonuses on points, because at the end of the day, that ends up being a lot more valuable than earning like 1% or whatever in a savings account. So, considering the fact that 61% of Americans say they plan to travel this summer for either business or leisure, it shows that the majority of Americans are thinking the same thing.
Yeah, no question about it. What are some great summer destinations, for example? Obviously not the desert.
Well, I mean, it depends on your pain tolerance,
I
guess.
It does.
But I like the beach personally. I'm from Connecticut, New England guy myself, and I like going down to. I grew up going down to Stone Harbor, New Jersey, and now I like going to the beach in Dewey Beach, Delaware. If I'm going out to the West Coast, I really like Newport Beach or Manhattan Beach. So those would be kind of my key domestic places to go personally. And then if I'm gonna head out, maybe out to Europe, go hang out in the Mediterranean. You can't really go wrong in Italy or France or Greece or even some more far-flung places like Cyprus or Turkey.
You're interesting because most people plan a trip. You say, I'm going to hang out in Europe. It's kind of like a different kind of attitude. Hey, go hang out over there.
You know, it's just one of those things that just gets in your blood after a while, and then it just seems second nature, I guess, once you've been doing it for a while.
What's the deal with Turkey? Is that a safe destination?
I mean, just like anywhere else, you know, you have to take precaution just going anywhere, I mean, including domestic travel. So to me, obviously just stay aware of the geopolitical situation. Yeah. But most of the places that you would go as a tourist, at least in my experience and opinion, are pretty safe. You just have to use common sense just like you would anywhere else.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you've traveled just about every country in the world, perhaps every country. What have you learned from it? I mean, because most people will never have that close to that experience. How has it changed you?
Well, it's changed me in that, number one, I can use firsthand knowledge to discuss any country in the world, and I do my research before I go to places, so I know pretty much what I'm getting myself into and what their situation is, you know, politically, economically, and everything else. And you realize that most people around the world are pretty much the same. They're the same as you and I, no matter where they are in the world. They might look different, they might talk different, but in the end, you know, they like the same things that you and I do. You know, everyone likes family and sports and having a nice time and hanging out with friends. And things you hear and see on television and in the media are not necessarily indicative of the actual people. For instance, governments might not be indicative of the beliefs of the people in a lot of places. So that's really the thing that comes to the front of my mind when I think about that most people around the world are good and the same.
Yeah, much to the opposite of what we're taught. Not necessarily by the media, but sometimes by government, like they're no good, all those people are no good, and that's a very sorry thing, but you're traveled enough to know that, yeah, there is a connection between everybody on this large boat that we call this planet. And traveling is a fulfilling thing in life. I guess it's pretty much what life is all about, is to experience.
Well, it's funny because most people work their whole lives, right? So they can retire and travel. And my whole thought was, why not just do it when you're young and able-bodied and ready to go? So why put off till tomorrow what you can do today, I always say. And that's pretty much how I've decided to live my life, because nothing's guaranteed, right?
Apparently not, even with insurance. That doesn't even really count. Okay. Where do we go for more information and how we can gather some credit card cash here in order to make these trips?
Sure, absolutely. For more information, go to bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards. And it's a great card, and get out there and see the world.
And I assume you've been to every country. Have you been to New Jersey?
Sadly, I have been to New Jersey, yes, many times. In fact, I was there the other day.
My condolences. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Good talking to you. Thanks.
All right, Ron. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Actually, I was born in New York, and then I lived in New Jersey. I was brought up in New Jersey from the age, I think they moved me, my parents moved me to New Jersey. I think my parents came with me. We moved to New Jersey when I was like 3 years old or something, or two or three. And I stayed there through all of my public school career through high school. So that was my childhood, was in New Jersey. So don't mess with me. It was quite an experience that I can make fun of because I lived there. Ladies and gentlemen, New Jersey isn't so bad, actually. It's just extremely expensive. It's extremely expensive. You can't live there. You think you can't live in New York? Try New Jersey. You cannot live there. And it's very crowded. All right, enough. Ron, shut up. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again with you tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, I wish you peace.